Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Lots of noise last week, lots and lots of noise. And where'd we go? A lot of fury, especially on Friday. Terrible, miserable day. Thursday and Friday, miserable days. And again, tech stocks taken out to the woodshed and beaten to death. And they have been for several weeks now, particularly tech stocks. And I want to talk a little bit about that, too, because as we break the market apart, and I'm not going to be all that technical. I'm just saying that you break it apart and talk about the fundamentals in the market. We basically, last week, we broke even. Okay? All that fury, and the market went nowhere. Nowhere. In fact, it's gone nowhere for 6 months. Up, back, it's just kind of gyrated sideways. We've had our little correction. That's not bad. That's healthy. It just feels bad when we go through healthy things. Maybe it's like you're getting back into your exercise program. That doesn't feel good initially, right? It just doesn't feel great. You're sore. You're out of shape, and it's no fun. And the market gets overextended, unhealthy. It doesn't go up all the time. And we all get excited. It's fun. It just goes up all the time. And then once in a while, we have to come in and have a little correction. But it doesn't feel good. It never feels good. And it's totally normal. We look back and go, no big deal. That's what happens. Markets do that. And it's true. They do that. They don't go to zero. They rarely go down a lot. Although it may feel that way, you know, because your million-dollar portfolio went down to 900,000. Especially if you have a lot of tech stocks. It went down worse. Some of them went down a lot. You have to wonder, should I own a Spotify or a Teladoc or stocks like that? Because, or Netflix. What about Facebook? I had Facebook. I thought I was safe in Facebook. No. Individual stocks have train wrecks from time to time, especially when they're growing so crazily. And Facebook has been. The tech stocks have been. You look at something like Amazon. Rolling along, rolling over the top of the whole wide world, the Death Star, as I call it. It just kills everything around it. I think we'll go get into this industry. Boom, that industry's gone now, right? All the margins are gone, wiped out. Because they're in it. They're so good. But how's the stock doing? It hasn't been doing anything. It's down, actually, still, I think, 15% plus, even though they had a great earnings announcement and stock soared hundreds of points. It's still not anywhere near its highs. But all they did was make more money, improve in every way, to the point where analysts went, oh my gosh, this is an unbelievable quarter. And it was. Totally was. But companies like that rest from time to time. For example, if we look at a portfolio, think about it, and you think about your own portfolio, that's not going anywhere, that's not good. Okay, what changes should we make? Let's just say Apple has gone nowhere for the last 7 months. Does that mean you shouldn't own Apple or shouldn't have owned Apple for the 45X you got? 45X since the iPhone came out. That's insane gains in the midst of periods of rest. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff to worry about. So what do we do? I'm going to talk about this in the second hour. What are you going to do? We have real deal inflation. That really was on the mind of the market, wasn't it? Don't you think, right? The highest inflation in 40 years. And the president gets up there and babbles. And it is babbling. It clearly is. I mean, I don't. Look, this is just not I hate Biden because I don't like his politics. I mean, he babbles. This is the leader of the free world, groovy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But that's who we have. He gets up and he babbles about, are you ready? Wages went up. But real wages didn't go up after inflation. They went down over the last 12 months, almost 2%, meaning the average person, average household has $276 a month less. $276 a month less than they did 12 months ago. Real wages are off 1.7%. And this is what we're going to do, is to get around and go, oh, well, that's just politics. You just got to point out certain things. No, you don't point out wages. You point out real wages. You don't pretend that we're on top of energy prices. Now, the Democrats, they're going to want to suspend the gas tax, so we can all save 20 cents, roughly 20 cents a gallon on gasoline, because they shut down the pipelines and shut down drilling. I thought the point of doing all that was to have a greener world, all by that, making everything so super expensive. But now we're coming up to an election, so we're going to pretend we didn't do that. This isn't solving problems. It's lunacy. They really think that Americans are really that stupid. They really do. So I don't think it's going to pass, because it's just stupid. All it is more deficit spending and pretend cheaper prices. Markets get upset once in a while. And when we're making a turn here, and we are making a turn, we're making a turn from low zero interest rates to something higher. What is that something? We don't know yet. I know you can hear lots of people babble, it won't do this, it'll do that, it'll be this, it'll be that. And again, I'll talk about it in a second. I'll give you my prediction for what that's worth about inflation. It's worth zero. It's all worth zero because we don't know. Look, Wall Street predicts all the time what interest rates are going to do. So collectively, actually, they've kind of measured that, right? I've shared this statistic before. They literally measure the interest rate predictions of Wall Street economists, because there's dozens of them. And they've done it for decades. So how are they doing over the last 20 years? Say 6 months out. Interest rates up, interest rates down. That's it. That's the only prediction you have to make. Not what they're going to be. Up or down. And a coin flip destroys them. They can't even get it right half the time. Now, literally, if you're playing roulette, you're nearly, you know, minus the green zeros, 50-50. Flipping a coin, you're 50-50. Wall Street, highly paid Wall Street analysts, looking at the economy, can't figure out where interest rates will be in 6 months. So remember that when you hear everybody babbling about interest rates and where they're going to be, and inflation and where it's going to be, and the economy and where it's going to be, deficits and where it's going to be, and what's going to happen when we have superinflation, what's going to happen with gold prices, what's going to happen with this. People don't know. We don't know. We don't know. As Mark Twain says, I believe it's Mark Twain, predictions are hard, especially when you're dealing with the future. We don't know what's coming. And it'd be good to have that kind of humility. And when we think about our portfolios, what I do know that's coming are more ups and downs. Slightly more up days than down, slightly bigger increases than down. But it is, if you will, it's like falling. When we fall more quickly than we tend to rise. And that can be frightening, and I get it. I get it. All right, let's take a quick break here. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDEAL. It's dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email. And we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. dave@petsofinancial.net. That is our email address for the program. All right, let's go ahead and go to Wayne in Nampa. Wayne, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Hey there.
I've listened to you for many years, and I think it, most people would agree that very few people have $200,000 in their retirement fund saved. It's quite quite impossible. What bothered me this morning was when you said it's healthy what's going on in the economy right now. In other words, the adjustment. And I think if you talk to most people who toiled or worked, and I think there's a huge difference between work and toil. The definition is subjective, but I don't think anybody agrees that what's going on right now is healthy for those people who can't pay their bills, those people who are homeless. And all the financial advice you give is great for those that maybe have something that I haven't already had their entire life savings or their life's efforts stolen from them by political and big money interests. So it would be nice to hear an intelligent individual like yourself start talking maybe a little bit lower in terms of assets and in terms of, you know, what should the lower class Americans be doing? How can they come up out of this terrible, terrible situation that we're in on, you know, minimum wage jobs and on, you know, with the.
Yeah. Wayne, let me pause you there for a minute. Okay. First of all, I'm not sure where you got that. I think that the political situation's okay. I don't think it's good. I'm talking about, you know, all the time about the Looney Tune policies that are going on now. And the biggest losers of that are the lowest class, not the ruling class. They don't care. And they obviously don't care. They just want to have power over people. But the point I was making is very simple. Markets, when I say it's healthy for the market, that's different. I'm not saying it's healthy for the economy to have inflation or corrections, if you will. That's not healthy. What I'm saying is that the market itself is healthy when it runs sideways for a while, chews up its excesses with time, and then earnings can catch up and all that. That's just a normal thing. It's healthy for markets to do that. They don't go straight up. If they go straight up, they're going to come back straight down. That is not a healthy environment. We need to have these choppy little 5%, 10% corrections. That's what's healthy. Is this economy healthy? Of course not. Inflation is a terrible, terrible thing. And the thing that it affects the most is always people that have to fill up a gas tank, right? They have to fill up the gas tank. So I appreciate it, but don't misunderstand. I am not at all in favor of these policies at all. Okay? Wayne, I'm sorry. I know you hear the music. Thank you for your call. And if we didn't cover it all, you call back in the second hour, okay? All right. You obviously can hear the music, and we are going to take off here for a Fox News break at the top of the hour. I do hope you'll join us in the second hour, and I'll hopefully clarify that a little bit more. The market is not the economy. It is not. Now, we're going to talk in the next hour why I think that some of this is going to be very, very helpful to the market going forward and how the market, to me, looks reasonably healthy in through all of this choppiness. All right. Hope you'll stick around. Hour number two after Fox News. Hello. Good morning. And thank you for joining us. All right. What is our number? Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, LeJoe, hang on. I got a few things I want to get through here, and then we'll grab you. Okay, so hang on. Hey, first of all, I haven't talked about this a lot, and that is COVID. But why am I talking about COVID? It's important to understanding: is the economy going to go into recession? You hear it all the time: Omicron this, Omicron that. In spite of Omicron or because of Omicron, blah, blah, freaking blah. We've been dealing with this for 2 years, and this is the thing that I really come back to all the time. Finally, the world is becoming more sane, okay? We're seeing it in Canada. We're going to see it in, we are seeing it now. Suddenly, the really blue lockdown in your face, everybody we control, and you control it, you need to put your finger up your left nose, you won't get coronavirus. That kind of control, those folks are trying to get out front of getting rid of the mask mandates from California, New York, New Jersey, all of them. Oh, the kids need to be in school now. No kidding. They needed to be in school a year and a half ago when you morons were locking them down. I get it. But still, let's take a look at two things and why this is really, this word is getting out. So when you look at Florida and California, you can't have two states that are highly populated that are different than that, right? They're just so, they're so different, right? Super different. And of course, we saw cases spike in Florida, no mask mandate, more quickly than they did in California by about 2 weeks. That's it. California mask mandate, boy, they're going to keep it down. They're going to really make sure that people don't get it. They're still running significantly higher than Florida. Yes, they both peaked about the same, just about 2 weeks after, one after the other. And California still runs higher. Still runs higher in case counts per 100,000 people in lockdown. This has gone on for 2 years. It doesn't matter what you do. You go to Sweden, they didn't shut down at all. You go to California and Looney Tunes, and they shut everything down. Same case rates. A virus finds a way. We've known this forever, but it's slipping out now. The control's over. People are tired of it. They're moving about. They're taking their vacations. See how much an airline ticket costs, a hotel room, your meals, everything. Can you even get reservations? Try renting a car. It's expensive because everybody's moving. There is not going to be a recession. We're going to keep opening up. That's, and it's so important fundamentally in all of this noise to understand why markets are fundamentally strong. Now, I want to take that to another, to the next point, okay? Because it is important to understand that. But we also need to understand there's this giant bathtub of money, trillions of dollars, okay? And yes, I actually am blown away with how much $1 trillion is. I don't just toss that around as just like, oh, it's true, like I was a D.C. politician. I don't. It's real money. It's really a lot of money. Ridiculously, a billion is a lot of money, okay? So when we talk about numbers like this, we really do need to pause and go, wow, you know what? That is a lot. That's really a lot. But there's over $10 trillion in the United States alone in bank accounts earning zero or next to zero. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I know. You got 0.01 on your $130,000 money market at Wells Fargo. Congratulations. That's just amazing. Good. It's not zero. Okay. I've been corrected. It's zero. But we just have inflation is running 7.5%. 7.5. So if you're an investment manager, you want to lose 7% a year, that's your option. You can guarantee a 7% per year loss. You can do what you want. You can take your money and throw it in the fireplace. It's totally up to you. Bury it in the walls. You're allowed to do that. But guess what money managers do with trillions of dollars? They get fired for making decisions like that. You don't get to say, we're really worried about fill in the blank. So our strategy is to lose 7% a year. Or you may say, I think inflation will come back down. That's fine. You're only going to lose 5 or 4. That's not a strategy. It is not a strategy. It's not caring for your money. It's not. And you will lose your job. Individually, people can do that. Institutionally, you can't. You're fired. Or we can buy bonds. How's that worked out? We've moved from 0.5% 10-year treasury, never going to work, always below the inflation rate, period. And now we're up to 2. So, A, you've gotten crushed in your bonds, but, hey, let's call it 2 today because we're making a new decision today. So now we're going to lock in and lose, what, 3, 4, 5% per year? Let me think. How much money should we put there? Equities is the only answer. And this is an important point. But I'm worried about fill in the blank. Me too. Congratulations. Welcome to the human race. Everybody's worried. None of this is news. What about, let's start here, hyperinflation? Okay, could be. Don't know. Be unusual. Really unusual. Happened in the 70s. Does anything out here look like the 70s? Nope. It just doesn't look at all like the 70s. Nope, it doesn't. We're far more productive. But, you know, the thing is that people don't ever, that you believe what you were going to believe and then find data to prove what you already believe. Don't change my mind with facts. Okay. It's a weird way to live, and we all do it to a degree. I totally get that. But it is a weird way to live. I don't know what inflation's going to do, but it doesn't look like the 70s. Productivity. Where else to put money? Where else would you put it? You want bonds at 2%? I don't. Have mine. I don't want to put up with the ups and downs of the market. So what? Then just quietly lose money. It's your choice. I don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't like it. I don't like politicians like Trudeau and Biden that point their finger at people like truckers. Who likes that? Who likes arrogant Silicon Valley people? I almost lost my head. They're awful people. Looking down on people that are actually working and trying to make a living and maybe even go to church and weird stuff like that. Really care a lot about their families. Realize that they're just trying to get by. But they just don't get it. They just need to be lorded over. I don't like it either. But doesn't it feel a little bit like some of that maybe is crested and ebbing now? Maybe. Maybe I'm just being hopeful. But those are different things than looking at where do we put money. But it's not different things as I talked about the last couple of weeks. It's not, because this is how we feel. It's our emotions. We're driven by this great, awful, horrible feeling we have that right is wrong and wrong is right. We're just completely backwards. We're going the wrong direction. And how can things work out when we're doing everything wrong? It doesn't feel like it can. It just doesn't. I get it. But we have to somehow separate in our minds. It's a choice. Where am I going to put my money? Why do I think there's not inflation? Turn the page to that. Why isn't there going to be hyperinflation? Because when we look at the productivity gains that we get every year naturally from technology, and then we amp it up. And we amp it up because of what? COVID. We amp it up because people are learning to Zoom their meetings, work with fewer employees because they have to, because Washington, D.C., in their great wisdom, decided to just go ahead and send people money to stay home and play video games in their basement. What could go wrong with that? And so we live in this weird world we feel weird about. But it's also translating into some serious productivity gains at corporations, very serious gains. And so we get in this battle all the time, especially the if you will, the Wall Street crowd blabbering back and forth about value stocks or rotations into this and rotations out of that. And we wind up with this. The big stocks out there, the top 10, since so much money is in indexes, and I know this is over the head of some investors, okay? But so much money is invested purely in the index, the S&P 500. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions. That's the index. And only 10 stocks are 30% of that index. It is not 500 stocks at all. Not. Not 500 stocks. It's 10. It's really like the S&P 50. 50, 60, 70 stocks are 70% of the index. And when we take those out and realize these are, I mean, this is like the big guys. It's Google. It's Amazon. It's the world killers. And then we take those numbers and we look at them from a, and listen to valuations, right? Oh, the S&P has never been this high, or it's way too high, so on and so forth, right? And we look at that. And these top 10 companies who are killing it, and everybody wants to own because they are killing it, way heavily on the index as it being so overpriced. But when we take the average price to earnings ratio and look at it, it's not bad at all. It really isn't on a historic basis, and yet there's nowhere else to put money. So when we chase down and try to figure out why markets are holding up, and we dig into the valuations, we hear how overpriced it is, and all of the Shiller-weighted 10-year index and all that stuff, which has been wrong for something like 12 years, literally, has been completely hold cash, get out, because we're all going to die. It is that bad. It is not a good predictor at all. And we think about productivity gains. We've brought so many. Margins are screaming higher. Profitability is way up. And when we look at it and we're learning to work with fewer and fewer employees, and we think about those wage prices increasing, inflation running away, I just don't see it happening. And if that's true, and inflation does come back, it's not transitory, it's real. But, you know, and how stupid was that of the Fed to do that? We're in a period now where we're transitioning from zero interest rates, which we've never done before, where we also have grown. It's just a cool little experiment. Let's just grow the money supply by 40% over less than a two-year period and see what happens. Shall we do that? That's what the Fed did. And then we go, wow, isn't this weird having inflation? So strange. Of course we're having it. But we're transitioning away from that. It doesn't have to run away if we can transition out. But that's why you're getting a funky market, in my opinion. Why the market has been a little bit sideways, a little more hyperactive. And emotionally, we're just in a tough time. The President of the United States is not the person who said he was going to try to bring the country together. He's so far left. I don't know if he knows what he is. He can't put a sentence together. He can't do a news conference. He can't take hard questions. He's confused all the time. He's made zero good decisions. I mean zero. Dead zero. I can't think of one thing. I'm sure we'll get it in the State of the Union coming up here. We'll somehow get some, he'll figure out something. But from Afghanistan to inflation to the border, and on, it's a disaster. But that's not the economy. They're different things, and we can't put our emotions into that. All right, I got to take a quick break. Lee Joe, if you're still there, we're going to grab you on the other side of that break, and we're going to grab you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Lee Joe. Lee Joe, thank you for holding.
Hi, well, that's the French pronunciation. Hello?
Can you hear me? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I can. Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me?
It's good. Lee Joe. Lee Joe would be French, and that's I'm preparing my French accent so that when the French Canadians take over and save us from Biden, I can blend in. So I'm here to rain a little bit of reality onto your market prediction parade here. I don't think the market is predicting the future trucker strike in the United States. Just reminding folks that everything that you look at right now came on a truck at some point, unless it's the mountain or the vegetation on it. So, with that productivity you're talking about, which, you know, is the counter to inflation, that tanks, which it's going to tank. We've got 13 border crossings shut off, going to Canada right now. And if you listen to the, the Chancellor of Ontario declare his emergency, his naivete continues on as we speak as to what kind of trouble he's in as his country is literally blockaded and sieged. And, you know, there's groups in the United States that are looking at shutting down over COVID mandates and COVID restrictions and all of COVID period as well. So when you add that into the not 7% inflation rate as calculated by modern standards, but you add in the inflation rate of fuel and the other volatile sectors they take out, and we're looking more like 15% to 16%. This hyperinflation is definitely possible, and we're not talking about a ripple effect from, you know, independent truckers refusing loads for 2 or 3 weeks. That's a tidal wave effect. That's an earthquake effect, and that will continue on for up to 6 months probably of supply chain disruption. You know, we're already having a problem getting stuff out of ports, and now what are you going to do when the trucks aren't there? Period.
Right. Well, again, I don't deny that if we stopped having truckers or trains running across the country that we would have a problem. I don't see that happening. We don't have mask mandates on truckers like they do in Canada. So, and further, this is the reason I point out these things, like, what's going on in different states with COVID, the fact that the mask mandates in New York, in California, Illinois are disappearing or have already disappeared. Even masks. People are realizing that this has gotten to be really a serious political problem. And so those people that are trying to clamp down on everybody are simply trying to get out in front or get away from what they've done. And as they do that, that's, I think, is again a sign that we are not going to become more and more and more oppressing in this, but we're going to open up and we're done with this. And especially in school districts, we're done with it. We're done with all of that. And more news comes out. It's like you read the Wall Street Journal today talking about there are literally organizations now that have been reviewing hundreds of hours of videotapes of these private institutions and what they're trying to teach this woke crowd. We're realizing this is what our kids are being indoctrinated in. And as we saw in Virginia, it's changing. So to me, I'm not trying to just sit here and say it's all good. It's not. But the idea that things aren't changing and changing fast because the political scene is now not okay to lock everybody down. It's not okay to mask up those kids anymore. We are all realizing, not just normal people in stupid flyover country, but even the coastal elites are realizing this doesn't work. This isn't working, and we got to quit playing this card anymore. They're not falling in step anymore, and so they're trying to stay alive politically. I don't think it's because they found new science. The science was always there. It's just that politics are beginning to wear out and wear thin. And when we see something like Canada, which, hey, there must be like Australia, you know. I thought they were real men and stuff up there, but you look at what happened in Australia, they just rolled over. It's like they don't care. I mean, I always thought these were like really, you know, burly back country, you know, type of people in Australia, and they aren't. And Canada's not either. They're apparently very law abiding, and they're rising up. And so this is a very left leaning group, and they're rising up. So that's positive to me. Go ahead, Lee Joe. Last word.
In Australia yesterday, 1.2 million people just marched. So they're not rolling over. You're never going to see it on your news feed, but 1.2 million Australians. And we have a Boise school district protest Monday at 5 at the district office for masks, and they are indicating that they will not be removing masks. And, you know, the science is, like you said, 100% against them. But folks need to get out there and shut the door and get these people gone. But this is where we're at. It still continues. The people who have power are trying to loosen up on their controls so they can win elections. But it's still the same people exercising the same power here in Boise. And, you know, we still have lots of people under mask mandates, and we still have Brad Little's emergency order, which allows them to be the petty dictators they always wanted to be. So the power is not gone. The intent of the elite is not gone, and we're continuing on with this complete lack of respect for individual rights, including in the private sector. So...
Yeah, Lee Joe, thank you. I've got to go to news. I got to go. I say last word, but I didn't mean last multiple words. I got to run. Thank you, sir, and thank you for your phone call. We will be right back after Fox News, and we'll take your calls at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number. If you prefer email, that's fine. Dave@petzofinancial.net. And also, I wanted to mention this, too. There are podcasts we have out on our website or at the Apple Store. And also, of course, we've got articles, calculators, and all that stuff at petzofinancial.com. So feel free to drop us a – yeah, and also, what do you want to hear about? What do you want to talk about? We're happy to address that as well. All right. Well, so today we've kind of rolled through, right? We've rolled through the overriding – this is not a political show. It's an economic show. Politics invades that. But most importantly to that, it's not just that it invades with policy decisions. You know, like we're going to get rid of the federal gas tax because we made a really big mistake and destroyed our energy independence. So we're going to pretend we didn't do that. That's stupid. That's just stupid and does have an impact. Instead of rolling back stupid policy, we dig the hole deeper. That's what the Federal Reserve's doing. Okay. Oh, we realized months ago, said so months ago, that this inflation was not transitory. It was, in fact, inherent, and we need to go ahead and reduce our bond buying and, in fact, increase interest rates sooner than we expected. And so they went from like, I'm going to say June, I can't remember if it was June or July, June to March, instead of just stopping digging. We're going to go ahead and we realize we have a problem. So we're going to dig the hole deeper before we start filling it in, because we're with the government and we're really that stupid. Who does this? And maybe there's a reason. I really mean there was a reason. But nobody ever asks the question. We just walk around and go, okay. So these are policy decisions that do matter. But most of the policy decisions don't. But they make us feel bad. Our kids should have masks or not masks in the schools. That's an important policy decision, but it isn't an economic decision.
Oh, well, if they get rid of the masks, then people go back to school, whatever it is.
So you can be on whatever side of that argument you want, but it's really not an economic decision. It's not going to affect how many iPhones Apple sells. Not going to affect it. Period. But it affects our thinking, and that's why we have to stop and realize our emotions play all the time. You know, I actually get cards and I get comments, you know, Mr. Cup of Coffee a day, yeah, $5. That's $150 a month. That's it. And it's $1 million plus. $1 million plus over 40 years. But people are going to perceive and hear what they want to hear because we believe what we want to believe. And we dig and dig and dig and find more and more data to prove what we already believe, not to change our mind ever. And that's sad. It really is sad. Because sometimes we're on the wrong track. We really are. And if we can't ever change our mind, how can we get back on the right track? Well, we can't. And we won't. So we run harder down that track. I mean, it just today, that's no problem. But there was a perception that I'm like only talking about large dollars with large people. And for 40 years, 35 on air, all I've talked about is getting started. Getting started. I don't say this to be defensive. I'm simply saying this is how we perceive things. It's not defensive at all to say for $5 a day, and anybody can do that, and everybody should do that, you can become financially independent. Why wouldn't you do that? But you know what? People don't. They don't. And then they say, see, the man's out to get me, or I just can't do it. You just can't do it in this world. Who can't do $5 a day? Who doesn't throw away $20 a day? That's what, two beers and a pretzel? Oh, well, I don't do that. Okay. Oh, I don't drink coffee. Oh, I just drink a couple Red Bulls a day. Really? Who doesn't do that? Who doesn't meet their friends for a happy hour? We all do. So don't tell me you can't do that. Everybody can. And that's where the position we're in. And even investing is free now. That's exciting. That's wonderful. And as we become more and more aware of all of the opportunities we have, instead of living in a world of what we think is a sum-zero world, that person over there has something, so therefore they've taken it away from me. It's not the pie we have. It's an ever-growing pie. You take a slice out, even a billionaire's slice, and the pie keeps growing and growing and growing. Just because somebody has more than you doesn't mean you don't have much. That's of course, contentment. That's, of course, ancient, even biblical, very biblical. Contentment. But we roll that sometimes into our own disbelief of our own economic system and our own abundance to the point where we don't invest. Or we say things like it's only a game for rich people to play. No, it's not. You can buy even fractional shares of the S&P every day for free, literally for free. And watch it grow over 40 years with recessions, with great corrections, etc. Or we can hide, or we can blame, and we can hide things in you know, in an equity indexed annuity. We can pay people 10% commissions to steal our money in fear. In fear. fear that it's most certainly this time we're all going to die. I don't know what's going to happen in the market. But as we look at the average stock in the market, they do not sell at exaggerated highs. And when a company like Amazon, which is a giant company and is a fairly good-sized chunk of the S&P 500, what we call the market, and we look at companies like Facebook, and we look at companies like Netflix, and we look at companies like Apple and Google that reinvest billions of dollars every year in the next new thing, in growth for the company, we are willingly paying huge multiples because we understand that they could either grow more slowly by showing more profits, paying dividends and things, or they can reinvest in things. Sometimes they don't work. Sometimes they do. And the next billion-dollar thing. Should drug companies just stop spending $1 billion on every new drug? Of course not. But isn't it really kind of commonplace, especially for politicians, to just hate them, right? I mean, just hate the pharmaceutical companies. They overcharge. And they keep everybody alive that has a blood pressure problem, simple little things, you know, like a heart problem, all those things. But we hate them. And we just forget how abundant things are. They really are. And I don't know what the market's going to do day to day. Nobody does. You know what all the predictions were last year? Yeah, it's too high. Going to go down. 28% gain. Sorry, wrong again. And then when things are going really well and so bright you got to wear shades, people are just like crazy that nothing will go wrong. Markets correct all the time. And then grow 10% a year on average. And every time there's a correction, the fear mongers, the pimps of fear, come out of the woodwork. The high commission products, gold, equity indexed annuities, fear, fear, fear. Scare you, old people. Scare you. You're going to lose it all. Don't invest in the Wall Street casino. All of that happens in a perfectly normal environment. I don't know what the market's going to do. I'm not trying to sell you on it. I'm just saying this seems perfectly normal to me. But in a perfectly non-normal world, we've lost our collective minds. We've lost our compass. I get it. I get it. But that's not the economy. It really isn't. All right, let's go and take our final break. Give us a call. We've got plenty of time to take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and jump on the phones and make sure we've got plenty of time for Ron. Ron, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Is it the stock market or is it economists that have predicted the last 17 out of the last 9 recessions?
Excellent point. Both. It's both. But you're right. That's really one of the truest and oldest sayings on Wall Street. Yeah, Wall Street's accurately predicted 20 out of the last 20 recessions. They just can't get it right. They predict it all the time. Market's correct, and that's an old saying and very true. Thanks for bringing that up, Ron. That's good.
So also, do you help many people trade futures?
Do not. That's an interesting point. I think that there are some institutions, you know, the Goldman Sachs's of the world, can and do that in a very effective way. And certainly the commodity traders do on the exchange. But it is a sum zero game. So for every what that means, sum zero game, for example, the market operates, if the market goes up, everybody wins. Yay. Okay. So, but if the market, the futures market, if you make $100,000 in the futures market, somebody lost $100,000. It's a sum zero game. And so what you're really going up against are the professional traders. And honestly, you're going to lose. You may win one. I mean, that's the same thing as you walk into a casino. You might have a lucky roll of the dice, but you're not going to win in the long run against the odds. And so that's one of the reasons I've steered away. I'm not saying that it's a bad place to be for all people, but I think for the average investor, it's a terrible place to be. It allows for excessive leverage, and you're up against professionals.
Okay, one quick question. How long do the ice sculptures stay viable? In other words, if you missed the busy times.
Yeah, well, that's weather dependent, as you might guess, yes.
Okay.
I'm guessing there, and also once the festival's over, they quit touching them up anyway. So yeah, I think the ice sculptures are not going to get touched up, and they begin to droop and go away no matter what the weather is. So, all right, Ron, thank you, sir. Have a great day. Yeah, it brings up a great point, Ron does. No question about that. I mean, the market fluctuates, and then people say it's predicting this or that. Or I love the inverted yield curve warning. Or the best one, which is really kind of reminds me of snow cyclones or the snow bomb or whatever the stupid thing was. It's a snowstorm, but we got to put some kind of terrorizing thing on it. And we do, right? And it's like they call it the death cross, and it's predicted like once in a while. It's like a stopwatch, right? That the market's going to go down, and so people use this weird technical indicator, and then the market does fine. But it sure gets pressed when it comes along. It most certainly does. Anyway, we get into these things all of the time where we're just simply convinced that markets are going to fall apart for various reasons. And the market does have corrections. And when it does, it's not necessarily predicting a recession. It really is not. But people love to do it because it's easy to frighten people. It most certainly is. I don't know what's going to happen this weekend with Ukraine. Obviously, they're not telling people it's a big concern if it's not. They're not pulling people out of Ukraine because there's really nothing to worry about. It's a big deal. And it might happen, and it's certainly going to upset the market. Once again, I don't mean to diminish it. It is a big deal. But it is not going to affect how many iPhones Apple sells. It won't. It's not going to affect Google searches. It's not going to affect steel prices. It's not. Growth will continue. And it will be a human tragedy for sure. It will be bad for Europe. Energy might be impaired. Energy delivery might be impaired. And there's nothing we can do about it. We can talk about running a few ships over there. But we can't do that. Can't do it enough. Joe's made sure that we are not energy self-sufficient either. And that's really too bad. We've got all these problems, but sometimes we lay all of those, again, we lay those over top of our own fear. Our own fear of what the world is doing and makes us feel very, very nervous. And don't blame us. It's a little bit unnerving, for sure. All right, as we wind up today's program, I hope all of you have a great and safe weekend. And I sure appreciate any comments, questions. Please direct those over to PetsoFinancial.com. We'd love to hear from you. And for those of you that are looking to catch up on a podcast or two, don't forget those are either at our website, and we post those within a couple of days, and so they're ready to go, or they're at the Apple Store. Let's see what happens over the weekend, and have a good time at the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you live next week.